This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church and, with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled to Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm, "I will praise your name forever, my King and my God."
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let them make known your might to the children of Adam and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. A reading from the book of Revelations. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are still in the Easter season, the fifth Sunday of Easter. And we are going to jump right into our readings today. We got a packed powerhouse set of readings, which are wonderful. And Paul, he is going to surprise us because the background of this reading is they are on their way back during their first missionary journey. And Paul and Barnabas are heading back to Lystra. Now, Lystra is almost where Paul almost got killed by stoning when they were first there. And yet he goes back to minister to the early Christians there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you read this, when the reading starts out, it almost sounds like, you know, it's just logistics telling you what they're doing. But yeah, to understand that Paul had nearly been beaten to death. In fact, they thought he was dead. It says they drug him out of the city, and they knew what stoning and beating and dead people looked like.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's possible he was resuscitated. He could have, you know, been
a miracle.
Yeah, it could have been a near-death experience. At any rate, that didn't stop him from going back to that same community where he was nearly killed for sharing the good news of salvation. That kind of courage and that kind of fortitude come from a place of grace. You know, but why would anyone do that? Why would anyone return to the same people who already tried to kill them? Well, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch to offer encouragement and instructions to the newly established community of believers that they'd left behind, and they did it out of love. We're going to hear a lot about love in these readings, right? In our lives, we might experience situations in which the very people that we've tried to help turn on us. And not necessarily because we've done anything wrong, but simply because of what we represent as Catholics. You know, they might perceive Catholic beliefs and practices as a threat to the sinful, comfortable zone that they've settled into, or they might feel guilty for having made bad choices in the past and for how they're still living, and they might lash out negatively and, you know, blame you. Well, you know, this is, you know, you're being judgmental. Well, what? In the way that I'm living, because I'm talking the truth? But that is, those are the same reasons that they attacked Paul and Barnabas. And then the next move is really up to us. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow a few dissenters to prevent us from sharing the truth? Or are we going to continue our mission, because serving God, even when it means experiencing conflict, is more important than our personal comfort?
Yes, exactly. When you talk about that, undergoing hardships, of course, that's one of the main lines in the first reading. And you talk about going through trials. Remember, there are also hardships that could be temptations. And the Catechism in paragraph 2847 does a nice job explaining this. It says, the Holy Spirit makes us discern between trials, which are necessary for growth of the inner man, and temptation, which leads to sin and death. We must also discern between being tempted and consenting to temptation. Finally, discernment unmasks the lie of temptation, whose object appears to be good, a delight to the eye and desirable, when in reality its fruit is death. So again, we embrace these trials to become more like Christ, but always have to make sure we discern between what's a trial and what's a temptation.
Yeah, good point.
And we need a strong church to be able to stand up for indeed the truth. You talked about teaching the truth and speaking the truth. This is something that Pope Pius XII said in 1949. He said, do you want a church that remains silent when she should speak? That diminishes the law of God when she should proclaim it loudly, wanting to accommodate it to the will of man? Do you want a church that departs from the unshakable foundations upon which Christ founded her, taking the easy way of adapting herself to the opinion of the day? A church that is prey to current trends? A church that does not condemn the suppression of conscience and does not stand up for the just liberty of the people? A church that locks herself up within the four walls of her temple in unseemly circumspectancy, forgetting the divine mission received from Christ? That is the type of church that we need today.
Exactly. I just heard something the other day. A friend said, well, the church needs to, you know, get up to date. It's like, what? I said, well, Jesus established this 2,000 years ago, and newsflash, nothing has changed.
That's right. We don't need to get up with the times. Jesus has taught for all time, hasn't
he? Yeah. If the truth makes a person feel guilty, well, then that something is wrong.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Yes. And so that's why we need to support our faithful and courageous bishops and priests and religious to defend the faith and continue to pray for them that they may do that, because that is what is at stake, is our society.
Because the truth never changes. Yes.
Yes. Amen to that. Well, moving on to the book of Revelation, we hear again from John. This is chapter 21. This is one of, I think, his last revelation.
Yeah, and he shares his vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Not new in the sense that the old heaven and the old earth are going to be destroyed and a new heaven, new earth were created, but new in the sense that all of creation will be transformed, and that in this renewed universe, every pain and suffering will pass away. And even the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that sacred scripture calls this mysterious renewal, which will transform humanity and the world into a new heaven and a new earth. And it further explains that at the end of time, the kingdom of God will come to its fullness, and that the universal judgment, the righteousness, will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul, and that the universe, which is so closely related to man and which attains its destiny through mankind, will be perfectly reestablished in Christ, and that in this new universe, the heavenly Jerusalem, God will have his dwelling among men.
And I think when you say this, to me, I think it's a wonderful pointing out that there are indeed past, present, and future manifestations and fulfillments in our scripture. So to your readings here, you know, the past fulfillment of this is the destruction of the temple in AD 70, that fulfillment of the old covenant and the establishment of the new. A present fulfillment is the new Jerusalem as we experience in the Mass today, heaven touching earth. And of course, as we talk about here in the second reading here, that future fulfillment of the second coming, that holy city coming down out of heaven from God. You mentioned with the Catechism, where there's another paragraph about the New Jerusalem, and this comes from paragraph 2015. The way to Jerusalem is the way to perfection. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. But this battle is worth it, as God will wipe away every tear from our eye. There'll be no more death or mourning or wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away, and behold, God makes all things new.
Exactly.
How beautiful that reading is.
Yep.
In our gospel today, we read this line, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." And of course, when he talks about his crucifixion, to the world it's contrary to call his crucifixion his glory. But the cross is the judgment seat, and he is the judge. This is the path to his resurrection and his glory. So embracing the cross is also our path to salvation. And are we willing to embrace Christ as did the repentant thief? Or in our pride, will we turn away from Christ like the unrepentant thief? I think anyone can call themselves Christian, but to be truly a Christian, one must act out of love and keep the two great commandments, love of God, the love of the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love of neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. And he takes that love one another, he takes it one step further. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus taught us what love really looks like, right? If we want to know whether or not we love, just look at whatever is at the root. And if it's not sacrificial in nature, then it's probably not love. And here's an example. Just ask new parents about the sacrifices that they make for their baby. And they'll probably say something like, oh, well, we don't sacrifice for our baby. You know, we love our baby. Or maybe even something like this, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then ask them, well, don't you get up in the middle of a cold night and feed her and change her diapers and walk endlessly to lull her back to sleep again? And they'll, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we do that. Well, then aren't you sacrificing your comfort for the comfort of your baby? And then they'll probably understand. Love for one another doesn't always have to be unpleasant, but sometimes it might be. It's easy to love the people that we like, but it's not easy to love those who are difficult or offensive, and therein lies the challenge. St. Francis de Sales said, "You learn to speak by speaking, to study by studying, to run by running, to work by working, and just so you learn to love by loving. All those who think to learn in any other way deceive themselves."
Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.